Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with MedTech leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or Deezer. Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Today, our guests are Ethan Russo and Nisha Whitley. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Nisha. They are co-founders of Credo Science, a company with a mission to commercialize patented products generated from their investigation of the cannabis plant and the endocannabinoid system, making cannabis safer and better. So Ethan and Nisha, thank you for being on the show today. Welcome.
Buenos dias a todos.
Thank you for having us.
Buenos dias. All right, guys. So let's get started with your journey to Latin America. How is it that you got involved with the region? Let's start with Nisha first.
I've always been very interested in Latin America and wanted to learn a second language. So Spanish, being a Texan, is the number one language that I really wanted to learn. And then after graduate school, I had the opportunity to work in Houston and work closely with the Mexican consulate and a lot of businesses from Mexico. And then from there, I've had the opportunity to work through the Texas Department of Agriculture, helping develop trade with Latin American companies. And then later in my consulting practice, had the opportunity to do quite a bit of work in Latin America. And then when Ethan and I were working together at a research institute based in Europe, we had the opportunity to work with a lot of companies in Latin America in the cannabis space. So I've worked in that area in food, agriculture, green energy, heavy machinery, and now in cannabis. Also, side note, wrote a report for the petrochemical industry where I followed all of the petrochemical plants in Latin America. And so I wrote a weekly report about their output.
Great. You're quite an expert then. Probably you know more about Latin America than me.
Oh, I doubt that.
All right, Ethan. So obviously you got involved with the region.
Well, first, I have a personal story. My paternal ancestors were Spanish-speaking Jews in northern Macedonia. And my great-grandfather actually came to the States by way of Buenos Aires. And my grandfather, his son-in-law, came to the United States by way of Chile. So there's that tie in there. I've been very fortunate over the last 26 years to have visited Latin America numerous times related to research, either on medicinal plants or cannabis in particular. I actually did my sabbatical from my neurology practice in Peru, working with the Machiganga tribe in the Amazon. I was in 1995. And we've had numerous trips to Mexico, Colombia, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil related to the work. So we are well aware of the great opportunities in this area of commerce, cannabis and the endocannabinoid system.
Fantastic, Ethan. Thank you for that. And Nisha, thank you for that introduction about your personal and professional relationship to Latin America. And well, the idea of the podcast here is to portray show examples of successful ventures into Latin America. So let's start the conversation with the trends that you see happening in the region. What economic, political, social trends, et cetera, that you see that are relevant to the to doing research or to commercializing medical innovations in Latin America. So, Nisha, you want to start?
Well, you know, Latin America is a great place to grow cannabis. There's great environment. Altitude is just right in so many places. And there's also great historical knowledge of the plant in Latin America. And, you know, I foresee that there's a real trend towards natural medicine. And so people are curious about what the plant can do for them, even though the laws aren't keeping up with public opinion, which is certainly the same here in the United States. We also see that many Latin American companies are investing heavily in ensuring that they have excellent manufacturing facilities, many of which are trying to get EU GMP certification. And so, you know, we really foresee that Latin America has great promise as both a grower and a manufacturer of high quality cannabis products.
Very good. What about you, Ethan?
Well, just to go on from there, let's use the example of Colombia. As Nisha alluded to, cannabis actually produces a greater concentration of chemicals at higher elevation. So if we look at the Andean region, we've got a combination of high elevation with very rich volcanic soil, an equitable climate, and just the right temperature range, abundant sunlight, and also abundant labor. This is the perfect recipe for cultivating cannabis. And when you couple that with a talented talent pool, something I've learned in my career is they're bright and capable and resourceful people everywhere. And this is no less true in Latin America. I'll give one example. I attend a lot of conferences virtually or in person. And I had the pleasure of listening to a presentation by a young chemist in Colombia on a topic about which I usually lecture. At the end of it, I thought, gee, I really don't need to be here. He did such a great job. So, you know, there are always good young people coming along to carry on the research.
Very good. I see a lot of Canadian companies doing business in Colombia related to cannabis. Any particular reason why?
Yeah, that's an easy one. Couple of reasons. One is the climate, of course. Canada is known as the Great White North. There's snow cover a lot. They pay a huge amount for heating and cooling in the summer as compared to in South America. You just pick your elevation and you have the climate that you need. And then certainly economics run into it. Labor is expensive in Canada. It's cheaper in Latin America. Hopefully this doesn't lead to exploitation, but it certainly presents opportunities for companies that need to watch their margins.
Very good.
It's a significant difference in terms of cost production between Latin America and Canada.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, not so much with American companies. Well, I don't see in the news that I read, I don't really see many American companies. Usually it's more Canadian companies. At least that's my perception. Maybe wrong.
Well, it's absolutely right. You know, again, it's a situation where cannabis is essentially legal in Canada. There are well over 260 licensed producers of cannabis in Canada currently. In the U.S., the number has been one licensed producer for decades. That's slowly changing, but the companies that are applying for licenses from the Drug Enforcement Administration are finding a very tough go of it, and oversight that is so rigorous as to be punitive. So the fact is, there remain considerable roadblocks to research in this country, and it's a compelling reason why I've spent most of the last 26 years working for foreign companies outside the U.S.
Interesting. Okay. And also, I guess you have the issue of financing, because banks cannot, at least from what I understand, cannot lend money in the U.S. to cannabis businesses, right?
Well, it's hard to even get a bank account. We spent what was
really wow.
We tried 5 banks in 4 states.
Right, and then it's only a cash business. You know, it was a way of actually the policy has perpetuated crime. It's an everyday occurrence in the United States that even legal state dispensaries of cannabis are all cash businesses, and they get robbed regularly at gunpoint. So, no, it's a terrible policy that needs to stop.
Wow.
Cannabis businesses also cannot deduct their cost of goods sold from their taxes in the same way that other businesses can. And so there are a lot of barriers to cannabis commerce in the U.S. that just make it really difficult. And those barriers don't exist in Canada. So the Canadian companies have so much more freedom to operate.
I see. Now everything makes sense. Thank you for the education. I'm not an expert in cannabis. And actually, you are the second guest that I have here on the podcast that can you speak intelligently about this topic?
Well, it's immensely frustrating because the opportunity here to innovate in the area of human health, medicine, animal health and wellness, and industrial solutions really is extraordinary. And current laws around the globe greatly interfere with a tremendous amount of economic progress and innovation.
Sure. Even when things are relatively, well, there's still in a legal state, it is still the case, particularly California, that regulation is strangling the industry. There are just countless cultivators that have gone out of business or going out of business because they just can't manage the tax structure or the other regulations. So, you know, it's unfortunate in this country that there have been this straitjacket on cannabis commerce. And again, we are interested in advancing this for the sake of human health and what the plant can provide. And so, you know, I consider myself an earthling first. We're going to go where the opportunities lie, where we can do the work. And that's just a fact of life.
Okay. So are you aware of any legal developments in Latin America that in different countries that is making cannabis more popular or they're bringing these countries to the surface for the industry?
Yeah, there are a couple of factors. One is the courts have often ruled that the use of cannabis is a constitutional right in various countries. And again, there are many people interested in developing this area of commerce. New crops are always welcome to people in the agriculture field. So the opportunities are great. That's certainly becoming noticed. It's not to say that there aren't barriers in a given country, but it's often they're less formidable than they might be in the U.S.
Yeah, the good thing about all this is that it doesn't look like the business or the business of cannabis can be independent of Latin America. In many ways, it looks like Latin America is an integral part of the cannabis industry for the reasons we just mentioned, especially Colombia. I understand just being legal developments in the country for the past 10 years, I've been seeing how the laws have changed to make it more favorable to grow medicinal cannabis and to export the flower and all that. So yeah, it looks like the country. Yeah, go ahead.
Right now, it's important that people understand that cannabis is not just a method of making THC or CBD, tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabidiol. Those are only two of at least 150 related chemicals called cannabinoids that the cannabis plant makes. Beyond that, their terpenoids, the aromatic components, there are 200 of those. Many of those also have medicinal properties. So the fact is that the potential of this plant medicinally and also in industry, other applications like insecticides from a plant is limitless. So we know a great deal about cannabis, but we've only scratched the surface in terms of what it can provide. Another factor is cannabis becomes accustomed to where it's growing, and it will express different traits. This is a very resourceful plant, and it adapts in the environment and to deal with the bugs that are there, the growing conditions that are there. When a cannabis plant has been cultivated in an area for a long time, it's what's called a land race. And often there are genetic traits that are extremely beneficial. This would be the case in Colombia or Mexico, where cannabis has been cultivated for a long time. These can contribute to our knowledge of the beneficial properties of the plant. And especially for breeding new types of cannabis, they're a great genetic resource. We're also involved with a company called Breeders Best that is designed to support the independent cannabis breeder. So if someone has a plant with unique traits, it's possible to get intellectual property protection for it. Part of that program is Novel Cannabinoid Discovery Program. There is a technology that uses receptors, cell receptors, to look for new chemicals. And without exaggeration, it's a million times more sensitive than current chemical analytic techniques. So this offers great promise in finding out the new things that we need for medicine or industry. This is a very exciting opportunity. Like anything else, it needs commercial backing, but we're working on that too.
Excellent. Very good. So let's talk about your specific experience in Latin America or your plans in the region. What is it that you have done, Ethan or Nisha, in Latin America? Have you collaborated with researchers? Have you worked as consultants for local companies? Please elaborate a little bit more on that.
Nisha, I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, as of late, Credo Science has not worked directly with any partners, but we certainly would welcome the opportunity to get to work with some Latin American companies, especially in terms of being able to assist them with formulation for medicinal products or pharmaceutical-focused products. Also, we would really like to work with Latin American companies in terms of providing certain clinical consulting services. But I would say that here in the last probably 3 years, I personally have had the opportunity to work with, I'd say, four companies in Mexico and Colombia specifically.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah. Beyond that, we've been very involved in educational processes throughout Latin America. I've lectured in all the countries I mentioned, both in person and virtually. This week, I'm giving a second lecture to a program in Mexico. There were 500 physicians and other professionals on the lecture I gave last week. I dare say that I'm better known in Latin America than I am in my own country. And this is after lecturing in English. I'm afraid my Spanish, I don't have confidence in my Spanish to lecture. That was really it. We really love the educational process, and the kinds of enthusiasm with which we've been met is really affirming. I know many physicians throughout Latin America. These are terrific people with so much to offer patients. Again, they need the handcuffs taken off so they can provide better medicine to patients.
When Ethan gets done speaking, he's usually mobbed like a rock star, and we spend 30 to 45 minutes of me taking pictures with all of his fans.
Awesome. That's so nice. Very good to hear. So let's talk about your plans. Any specific plans in Latin America for Credo Science or any of your partners? What do you see coming to the region?
Well, we have a couple of high priority projects that we'd really like the opportunity to work on, but they all require some sort of a partner. And so we've listed those actually on our website, which is credoscience.com. Under the projects tab, we have some information there about the things that are most important to us. So we're really looking to work specifically on neurodegenerative diseases, brain trauma, endometriosis, and anxiety disorders, just to make just to name a few.
Okay. Yeah, what I see is a lot of foreign companies doing business in Latin America with cannabis, but I see very few local companies that are homegrown and are doing something meaningful. So I wonder why is that? I mean, what needs to happen in Latin America for the region to have companies?
It requires capital. I mean, this is it's challenging because you're working against a global framework, and a regional framework, national framework, state, local framework that is all generally anti-cannabis. And so it really is a whole lot of swimming upstream. It requires passion for companies that are just getting into this for the money. This probably is not the industry for them. You have to really care about the potential the plant provides to human beings, because if you don't have that passion for it, it's going to be too hard. And so it takes a sincere interest in people that want to make a difference and see the components of the cannabis plant as being a potential solution to important problems. So that's first. And then you've got to find people that actually have access to capital that share that vision.
Good answer. Yeah, makes sense. And what's the future of the industry? What's the outlook, in your opinion? I mean, are these barriers going to be removed eventually? I mean, what do you see unfolding in this industry?
Sure, we hope so, but it's been a slow process. I'm old enough to remember quite well that it looked like cannabis was on its way to decriminalization in the 1970s in the U.S., but then it was set back in the Reagan era. It was set back many, many, many steps, and it's taken all this time to get to the point where it's possible to have progress. Obviously, the world has a lot of problems, climate, warfare, economics. This isn't a top priority for everyone, but with legalization and proper regulation, this can be a terrific industry that employs countless people and to the benefit of overall health, not only for people, but for the planet. Cannabis is a crop that properly grown can help heal the earth. It sounds lofty or granola-ish, but it actually is true. Again, we need backing. We need backing with the kind of people that Nisha mentioned that understand the plant and have a passion for what it can provide and not just look upon it as an income source. All too often, investors in this area are interested in the money or coming to this from another industry like real estate or entertainment, because they think that this is the next good way to make cash. Usually they're not going to be successful. It can't be done by one person either. Big teams and teamwork are required to make a go of it in this field.
Okay, very good. And what's the role of Big Pharma with cannabis?
They're largely an obstacle. Julio, the problem is pharmaceutical companies are mostly interested in having their own product. In other words, a novel molecule that they can patent and control. So Big Pharma doesn't understand plant-based medicine. First of all, they think that they can't have that kind of intellectual property protection. They can, but it requires having a unique preparation or a unique delivery system so that you can patent that. They also don't understand that no single synthetic molecule can do what a plant-based medicine can do. That's called a botanical. Botanicals don't work usually with a single active component. Rather, they use a group of different compounds that work in concert and are synergistic, have a boosting effect on one another, what we call the entourage effect. So it's not just a soloist, whether it be THC or CBD, but this whole entourage of compounds, the minor cannabinoids, the terpenoids, that really make cannabis a unique and versatile medicine.
Wow, this is fascinating, Ethan. Thank you for that explanation. I mean, again, I'm getting a top education here from you. This is all new to me. It's very exciting, especially for Latin America because of the potential of this plant or the potential that the region presents to the industry as a place to cultivate, right? And to eventually do research.
And to be a supplier to the world of high-quality cannabis-based medicines, including cannabis botanical pharmaceuticals.
Okay, yeah. Very well said.
Yeah.
Very good.
Latin America, guys, is well-positioned.
It's a world kitchen.
Yeah. It's well-positioned. It's well-positioned is what I said.
Oh, well-positioned. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, very good. Yes, well-positioned. Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think the countries in the region have understood this slowly, one by one. I mean, Colombia is probably one of the best examples. I think Uruguay also is well advanced in the regulations, very open.
And First Nation legalized.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the other question that I have for you, Ethan and Nisha, is there any other plant like mushrooms or something that eventually will get the same treatment that cannabis is slowly getting, where Latin America can also succeed?
You know, what it's an interesting phenomenon, but just like there's been a flurry of excitement and commerce related to cannabis and particularly cannabidiol, some of those investors are now shifting into mushrooms and psilocybe mushrooms. And these are extremely promising. But if the question were a little bit different, Julio, let's ask, is there a single plant that has all the potential biochemically and medicinally that cannabis does? The answer is no, absolutely not. Nothing we've ever discovered so far has the capability of treating so many diseases. And there's a reason for this. THC, the main psychoactive ingredient of cannabis, works analogously to natural chemicals within our bodies called endocannabinoids, cannabinoids within. The endocannabinoid system is what keeps all our other physiological functions in balance. So that THC and other cannabinoids can influence the system highlights how this plant can be beneficial for so many seemingly unrelated conditions.
I see. Excellent. Very good. All right, guys. Ethan, Nisha, it's been a delightful conversation, very educational for me and for listeners, I'm sure. And I'm so happy to reinforce the idea that Latin America plays and will continue placing a predominant role in this industry, in this thriving industry with great future, apparently. So thank you for being on the show today. I hope that it was also a nice conversation for you. And I encourage listeners to visit your website, and I will keep it in the back of my head if I see any opportunities for you guys to partner with local companies in Latin America.
We very much appreciate that and the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Leo.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.